1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Protect our students.
Teachers in Warren, Michigan hold a protest to draw attention to, they say, the impact dismantling the Department of Education would have on students and the community. CBS News has learned that President Trump tomorrow will sign an executive order to begin the process, but he can only go so far without Congress. Bob Callender, president of the Warren, Michigan Teachers Union, tells CBS News.
About $15 million in federal funding comes into our school district alone. That's easily 150 to 200 staff positions that could be impacted if cuts are made at the federal level.
President Trump has fired two Democratic members of the Federal Trade Commission. Commissioners Alvaro Bedoya and Rebecca Kelly Slaughter say they've been dismissed illegally and plan to sue. A jury finds the environmental advocacy group Greenpeace liable for defamation and other claims in connection with Dakota Access Pipeline protests. CBS's David Schechter.
The environmental group Greenpeace has been found liable for $660 million. It stems from a lawsuit by a pipeline company that drew protests in 2016 for building a project adjacent to the Standing Rock Indian Reservation in North Dakota. Energy Transfer accused Greenpeace of carrying out a scheme to stop the construction. Greenpeace maintained that it only played a small role in the protests and had nothing to do with construction delays that Energy Transfer says damaged the company. Greenpeace has said the verdict could put the nonprofit out of business. David Schechter, CBS News, Dallas.
A Defense Department webpage on Jackie Robinson's military service suddenly disappeared. CBS's Eleanor Watson with an update.
After facing backlash, the Defense Department has restored pages on Jackie Robinson and his time in the military that had been removed in a DEI purge. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ordered the Pentagon last month to take down content that featured DEI, a directive that has resulted in stories about minority service members disappearing. A defense official told CBS that an algorithm was used to flag content and that, quote, unfortunately, significant figures have been removed.
U.S. stock indexes rose. The Dow jumped 383 points today after today's announcement from Fed Chair Jerome Powell on the Reserve's key interest rate.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. We also made the technical decision to slow the pace of decline in the size of our balance sheet.
President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky spoke by phone to try to reach a deal to stop Russia's war in Ukraine, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt.
The two leaders also agreed on a partial ceasefire against energy. Technical teams will meet in Saudi Arabia in the coming days to discuss broadening the ceasefire to the Black Sea on the way to a full ceasefire.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Badgers land in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team landed in Denver to get ready for tomorrow's game against Montana. In their opening round of the NCAA tournament, head coach Greg Gard on how they looked in practice preparing for March Madness.
The juice we had today in practice, they understand. You turn the page, we learn from it, we know. Even if we won on Sunday, it doesn't change, right, what we have to do going forward.
NBA, the Bucks with another loss, 104-93 to Golden State. Milwaukee has struggled on offense now for the past week. Doc Rivers.
It's everything. We're missing shots, too, but we don't have the right space, and the ball's not moving. We're not attacking. We're not getting to the paint. I got a whole list, you know, but we got to do it. And I got to get them to do it. That's my job.
NFL, the Packers signed a free agent wide receiver. Mecole Hardman earned 3 Super Bowl rings in his time with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's agreed to a 1-year deal with Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. People on social media have been raving about the show Adolescence. They might be onto something, as it is the highest rated show on Netflix for the week of March 10th. The show was discovered by over 24 million viewers between Thursday and Sunday of last week. That's 5 million more viewers than Robert De Niro's Zero Day received, which premiered February 17th. Adolescence almost drew more viewers than a horribly reviewed Chris Pratt Millie Bobby Brown movie, The Electric State, which took in just over 25 million viewers. Regarding episodic shows, the comedy Running Turning Point finished in second place behind Adolescence with just over 9 million viewers. If you're in the mood for some laughs, check it out as Kate Hudson plays an executive who finds herself running an NBA basketball team. So much bingeable color TV to check out, but your time is valuable. So choose wisely, my fellow couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter storm warning continues through this evening for snow showers and an additional 1 to 3 inches, a strong breeze with gusts above 30 miles an hour, producing blowing snow. Cloudy overnight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s.
Current temp is 30.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little time off, but not to worry. We've got a special Women's History Month episode for you. I talk with some of my fabulous female colleagues here at Civic Media. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, we're all always excited here at Native Roots Radio to be partnering with Little Moments Count and to host these monthly conversations focused on early childhood development and how it's creating bright futures and strong communities. Today with us, again, we have Fawn Youngbear Tibbetts, and we are really happy to have you on, and we got to talk a little bit beforehand, but the things that you're doing are just so exciting, and let's talk a little bit about who you are and then jump into some questions about what's happening now. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. I really appreciate that. So I am the executive director of Wotoye Nandagi Kinden. We are Minnesota's first urban immersion early childhood program. We teach two languages, Dakota and Ojibwe. So typically when you hear dual language, you think Spanish and English. No, it's Dakota and Ojibwe are the primary languages that we teach in our early childhood program. And our students are 15 months to 5 years old.
Wow, that's cool. And then talk a little bit about yourself. It's like you have an awesome background. First of all, you graduated in Madison, which I love that city. And then also you're a product of Native American teachings here in schooling in your younger years.
Yeah. So my educational background really... I was in dental school first when I got out of high school, but ended up coming to Minneapolis. I was a student at Normandale at the time, and there was a group working on at-risk youth art programs, right? And so I got connected with that group, and we painted a lot of murals that were on Lake Street. We did the park at Cedar and Franklin Avenue. There used to be a gun shop and a liquor store right there by the school. So in the 90s, I've always kind of been around Minneapolis. So my whole family is here. We were in Madison for a while when my mom was in college. She also went to UW-Madison. So I ended up going back there myself. But I actually got there by way of College of Menominee Nation. So I'll give a shout out to our tribal colleges. We had a transfer agreement with the Sustainable Development Program. So I have a college, a degree in sustainable development from College of Menominee Nation. And then went to UW-Madison, the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, and got a degree in life science communications there. That's my undergrad. And then most of my, about halfway through a master's, most of that was in environmental education. I ended up teaching at the Arboretum, teaching teachers for about 15 years.
Wow.
And then ended up in Bad River because we had done this Indigenous Arts and Sciences project. And, you know, tribal council said, if you want to do this work, you have to be here. And so I went up to Bad River and I was stationed there for a long time while I was working for the university. But we worked with tribes to develop curriculum that was environmentally hands-on. So we would teach like water quality testing, but also had them connected with natural resources managers from the tribes and historic preservation officers. So like, for example, in Bad River, when the mining stuff was going on, right, we took all those students from the very top of the headwaters of the Bad River at Carolyn Lake and tested the water quality all the way down. They have a good 15 years of water data that they've collected. So if anything does ever happen there, they'll be able to prove right where it's coming into the river. And so really focusing on what were the tribal needs. And so when they posted the job here, it was during COVID, right? All the programs have been shut down at the tribes. And I see this job posting come across, and it's curriculum, it's language, it's working with food and in the garden. And I was like, man, that's my job. They wrote that job for me. And then, you know, Lisa Bellinger and Jewel Arcorn who interviewed me. And then I was like, okay, that's really my job. So I had worked with Jewel, was one of our youth workers on those mural projects. So I've known her since 92. And Lisa, I've known my whole life, pretty much. So I was like, this is perfect. I get to do what I've been trained to do, but for my own community. And then, you know, so I'm hitting my 5-year mark with the organization now.
Wow.
And when I started writing grants, they created a program director position. Jewel retired. She's done over 10 years of service to this organization in different roles on the board and served as director multiple times, have been brought back. And so, we did a year of transition time in 2023, and Jewel retired in January 1st, 2024. I took over as the executive director. So for the last year, I've been doing this new position.
Yeah. Hey, you know, let's talk a little bit about the kitchen program, you know, where you prepare meals with focus on culture significance. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so, you know, originally when I got brought into the organization, part of my job was to contract with someone, right? Gatherings Cafe, the food lab, different caterers and restaurant owners to see if they would provide USDA reimbursable lunches. And, you know, as I was walking around talking with everybody, most of the kitchens didn't want, it's a lot to go through that USDA training for reimbursable meals. And they said, you know, that's not really what we do, right? We're like for-profit restaurants, and we can't wait 60 days for a reimbursement to come through, and or we can't meet the USDA school lunch requirements. And so we have recently opened our kitchen. Our child and adult feeding license application is going in, and we should be ready to serve at the beginning of next year. And not just our program, but for other programs, right? So I was contacted by Center School. They went through 5 caterers last year. Currently, they don't have a food service provider. And so we can take that group of kids on. That's about 45 more students. And so within a 10-mile radius of our kitchen, there are 600 Native students.
Wow.
Anabe Academy, Bedote, Learning Center, Center School, our program, Baby Space, right? Like all of these Native youth serving programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of our expansion plan, is to target those Native serving programs.
Wow. That's
so it's exciting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, when we come back, I want to get a little bit of talk about how, you know, introducing, you know, these foods to our relatives, how important that is. And we'll talk a little bit more, but really excited to have you on again, Fawn. Fawn Youngberg, Executive Director, and we are the Wacha Ea. Was that right?
Oh, Wichoye Nandagi Kingdom.
Yes.
Did I get that right, Fawn?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Haley, and thank you, Fawn, for your patience. This is Native Roots Radio, and heck, we'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
Ho!
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Activism in the 21st century takes many forms. For Minnesota Chippewa artist Rory Wakeemup, it's Funktivism. He uses humor, satire, and regalia to challenge social and environmental injustice. Smart Wars is Wakeemup's latest solo exhibition. It's a bold mix of Indigenous heritage with modern commentary. Through his multimedia art, Wakeemup challenges perceptions and sparks conversations about Native resilience, climate action, and truth-telling. See Smart Wars at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis, February 27th through April 5th. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction, like talking, playing, reading, and singing, help create the pathways that build a child's brain during this early stage of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, I want to welcome back Fawn Youngberg-Tibbetts, and we're having a great discussion, but before we get caught up into more discussion about, you know, how great this food program is, let's talk about the webinar and get that going, and then we'll talk about it too again and remind everyone at the end of the segment.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of our Native organizations have kind of strategic plans. They're more like a wish list, right? And so we really took the last year and dove deep with some funder partners with the Indigenous Early Learning Collaborative, which is hosted out of Boston Children's. And it's a cohort of 4 of us. We've been doing some inquiry and they gave us money to do a community research project and then kind of gave us some guidance. And so in 2023, we really started looking at a full strategic plan so that we could get our own emergent campus here in Minneapolis. And we're doing a launch of that plan on the 28th. Boston Children's is hosting it. So there's a link available to you guys if you'd like to register for that. And we're going to take a real deep dive in that webinar into, you know, the last 30 years, because we're coming up on our 30-year anniversary. This wow. organization was founded in 1996 by a group of grandmothers. And wow. so, and then looking 30 years into the future, right? So mm-hmm. this, it's really a 10-year strategic plan, but we talk a lot more about the future. And it really started about a space, like a building, right, a four walls. And when we were doing our inquiry, what we realized is there's multiple layers of space, right? There's physical space. There's the metaphysical spaces. And right. instead of saying, like, what's our job? We said, what does a whole healthy Indigenous child look like? And mm-hmm. what does a healthy led Indigenous organization look like? And how does that run? And then what's our responsibility to that child, to that family, and to the community? And it really kind of changed the scope of what we were doing. It made us look internally too at, yeah. you know, a lot of our policies and procedures. And so we're going to go through that. It's going to be a beautiful document. We had King Dimitri and Pendleton come and take photos. And so his photos will be highlighted in the plan and in the actual physical one when it gets printed out. So, yeah, that's on March 28th. Anyone can join. Brazelton's network will host 50,000 people on the stream at one time.
Whoa.
Anybody can register, and that's the link to register for the event. And it starts at 2 p.m. our time. And it is going out across it's going out nationally, so we'll have some people from Hawaii that are partners that will be on there and potentially, you know, hopefully funders. And I think it's going to be a really good example of what our community can do if we are given the right tools. You know, this is an extremely comprehensive strategic plan. I'm really excited about it.
Wow. That's awesome, Fawn. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of things here, but I know, like, food's really important, too. And we talked a little bit about this at the end of last segment about just how important it is and empowering it is to have the children and families understand the traditional values and the foods that we really should be eating, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of a multitude of things that have to happen, right? So I was just at the Lutheran Church. The Masonic Lutheran Church sold their building, which OEA has been nominated to receive some of the funding from that sale.
Wow.
Asked us to come present. And, you know, you can teach a man to fish or you can give a man a fish, right? That's the biblical. And
right.
so I had to tell them, well, you have to give them a fish so they get used to eating fish. And then you have to teach them how to fish, but you also have to teach them to clean the fish and to cook the fish, right? And so that idea of giving people foods, you know, it's great, but does that really change behavior? And so we had originally done a lot of, I think we have the most comprehensive food map of South Minneapolis that's ever been created. And so we didn't just look at stores. We looked at if they're accessible if you don't have a car. We looked mm-hmm. at price gouging. And so like the Cub Foods here in South Minneapolis on Lake Street last year at Thanksgiving was charging $2.80 a pound per turkeys. But if you went to the same Cub grocery store in the suburbs, it was $1.89 a pound.
Whoa.
And so you can find that on our food map, but we also listed all of the food shelves and community gardens. And so it's a very comprehensive list. You can go click on the food lab. It'll tell you what items you can purchase there. And the little corner stores, the bodegas, there's one on 35th and Chicago called Tony's Market. If you ever want to buy bulk hominy, that's the place to go.
Wow.
And so he sells this really beautiful Peruvian bulk hominy for $2.98 a pound. He really gears towards his Hispanic clients, right? So that's what I mean. I think it's the most intensive food map that's ever been done. But, you know, when we were doing these surveys and we were asking communities about and asking the community about what do they know, what would they like to know, what we found out is that our traditional foods are so expensive, our families can't afford them here in Minneapolis anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hate to say this, but when traditional foods become trendy, it makes it unaffordable to our community. So, for example, right now, wild rice is about $20 a pound in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
If you're a family struggling to pay your tuition and, you know, raise children and all of these things that we all have to do, that's really expensive. And so part of it is educating families. Part of it is introducing traditional foods to young kids' palates, right? Because they have to also want to eat the food.
Right.
But it's also giving the opportunities for families. So one of the things I always talk about is that true food sovereignty only happens when you can harvest, hunt, gather, grow, and cook your own food outside of an economic system.
Wow.
And so we're going to be doing a bison butchering class that will be open to the community. We have some camp gear that families can check out, and we do harvesting trips to Pipestone. We're going to be doing the birch bark work with AIM has a grant. We're going up to Leech Lake this summer to do kind of the language portion of that. And we're also providing food. So, you know, we got a freeze dryer now.
Wow.
And we produce all kinds of really amazing food that travels really well. And so we're doing a lot with that. But really, right now, our big focus is getting foods accessible to the families. And so Takabe started doing like a HelloFresh native meal kit. And I was like, that's awesome. So we started doing that. We had originally given all our families Dream of Wild House indigenous food shares. And I was getting messages like, you know, what do I do with turnips? How do I cook the greens? We don't know what to do with it. I don't want it because it's just going to go to waste.
Mm.
And so we just staggered back, right? So our first box was a bison taco box. Everything was made and measured out. All they had to do was brown the bison. We did a bison shepherd's pie as well. Obviously, that one had to stick it in the oven. We did like a soup box, right? So then they have to cut the vegetables. So as we do more boxes, the work that the families are going to have to do will increase. And then we have QR codes and a chef, and you can watch the chef cook the meal as you're making it at home. And then we'll be doing cooking classes. So it's like adults, teenagers, kids, the breakfast and lunch and snack, but really kind of, you know, trying to get families to be able to implement it at home.
Fawn, this is amazing. And Haley, I see you popped up the website for more information. We have to get Fawn on again. This is a full show of information. I haven't even got past two questions that I have here. This is amazing, seriously. And could somebody, for our listening audience, give a quick shout out to the website?
Yeah. That is Weech. Well, I'll spell it, I guess. WICOIENANDAGIKENDAN.org.
Yeah. Well, for more information, check that out. And Fawn, we got to get you on again soon. This is amazing work that you're doing and the legacy that you're part of with this organization and what you're doing for the community. I am just like totally blown away here. I'm in awe of you.
Well, yeah, maybe we could have you come out and do some stuff in the field.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned that President Trump tomorrow will sign an executive order to begin the process of dismantling the Department of Education. Bob Callender, president of the Warren, Michigan Teachers Union.
I think he's missing the impact it's going to have on the day-to-day people across this country.
A jury says Greenpeace now owes hundreds of millions of dollars in damages to the operator of a pipeline after protests. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
The claims included defamation, trespass, nuisance, and civil conspiracy related to protests in 2016 and 17 against the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline.
As expected, the Federal Reserve holds interest rates steady and signals that it still expects to cut rates twice this year, though policymakers forecast fewer cuts. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The Fed has to wait and see how uncertainty and tariff tit-for-tat and escalation, how that impacts the economy, the labor market, and the inflation rate.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers land in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team landed in Denver to get ready for tomorrow's game against Montana. In their opening round of the NCAA tournament, head coach Greg Gard on how they looked in practice preparing for March Madness.
The juice we had today in practice, they understand. You turn the page, we learn from it, we know. Even if we won on Sunday, it doesn't change, right, what we have to do going forward.
NBA, the Bucks with another loss, 104-93 to Golden State. Milwaukee has struggled on offense now for the past week. Doc Rivers.
It's everything. We're missing shots, too, but we don't have the right space, and the ball's not moving. We're not attacking. We're not getting to the paint. I got a whole list, you know, but we got to do it. And I got to get them to do it. That's my job.
NFL, the Packers signed a free agent wide receiver. Mecole Hardman earned 3 Super Bowl rings in his time with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's agreed to a 1-year deal with Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theaters this weekend, here are some moving pictures to consider. Disney's live-action version of Snow White is called Disney's Snow White. The film stars Rachel Zegler as Snow White and Gal Gadot as the Evil Witch, and it's packed with Snow White pals Bashful, Doc, Sleepy, and the gang. The story might be an age-old Disney favorite, but this new iteration is pulling only a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not good when you mess up a classic. Here are a couple suggestions for films that are reviewing well. Sci-fi horror film Ash is the story of a woman who wakes up on a foreign planet only to find her crew has been murdered. The film has been called riveting and is pulling an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. Magazine Dreams also has excellent reviews. The drama tells the story of a bodybuilder pursuing his dream of being on the cover of muscle magazines, but struggles with loneliness. Let's have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter storm warning continues through this evening for snow showers and an additional 1 to 3 inches. A strong breeze with gusts above 30 miles an hour, producing blowing snow. Cloudy overnight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s.
Current temp is 30.
The Madness.
Blackwell inside, and he sends it down with the right hand.
Starts.
Tanjay with bad intentions.
Now.
Long three, left side, bucket.
It's the NCAA Tournament. Join us Thursday, live from Denver, Colorado. It's Wisconsin and Montana. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Wisconsin basketball.
To the rim, slam dunk, Carter Gilmore.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, can the Trump administration impeach judges who don't do what they want? Jim Santel will answer those questions and more, plus sports and weather. Do not miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, before I introduce our groovy Ho-Chunk guest, Haley, we have been doing something here for the last couple days and want to make this a tradition. We have a Ho-Chunk word of the day, and take it away, Haley.
Okay. So, yeah, we started out with wolf earlier in the week, and that was shunk junk. And then we talked about dog yesterday, and that was shunk. And today we're going to be talking about the buffalo. And we know, well, I guess from movies and stuff, I know the Dakota word for buffalo is tatonka. And in Ho-Chunk, we say chefchi. Chefchi.
All right. Wow. We are learning here. And we have our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. And I just got to say, we are all a Ho-Chunk here and a happy Founders Day. Ho-wa.
Yes. Happy Ho-Chunk Founders Day, everybody. It's a very exciting day.
It definitely is. So on March 19th, 1963, our tribe was officially recognized by the federal government as a sovereign nation. The Wisconsin Winnebago Nation. Ho-wa. Again.
Hey. Yeah, and we were referred to as such until, I believe, 1994 when we amended our constitution and reverted our name back to what we've always called ourselves. Ho-Chunk.
Right. Wachungala, yes, definitely. Yeah. And we like that because I always like telling people, and if you can see my hand, I know people on the radio can't, but I always say, the people, the sacred voice, when I tell them people want to know what tribe I'm in. Ho-wah.
Yes, and I believe that we are the only nation in North America named after our language.
Yeah, that's a really good tidbit there for sure. Hey, before we get into some questions here and some grilling I have with you, I saw that you were at the State of the Tribes yesterday. And
I'm
sorry I missed it, but that is a beautiful, beautiful recognition of the 11 tribes in Wisconsin. And we quoted some of the speech from the chairman, and Haley had it. It was pretty powerful, and I got to listen to it live here in Minnesota, and just proud to be Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, I have worked, before I started with Emerge, I worked maybe 6 or 7 years in the Capitol. And State of the Tribes Day is always my favorite day. I love hearing our songs echoing through the rotunda. It feels so powerful. And it is a recognition and expression of tribal sovereignty and the sovereign nature of the 11 federally recognized tribes in Wisconsin. The State of the Tribes is delivered once a year, generally around this time of year, by one of the tribal chairs or presidents of the 11 federally recognized tribes that are in Wisconsin. So this year it was the chairman from St. Croix, and his speech was great. Mm-hmm. I liked that he put in a lot of, you know, numbers and data, but then he also shared personal stories. You know, he spoke about his daughter, and you know, she lost her mother to opioids.
Fentanyl. Yeah.
So I think he hit a lot of really great notes. And something that was really exciting for me, sorry for checking my throat there, was that I had to sit in an overflow room. And this, I believe, is the first time that we had an official overflow room where people could go watch on one of the screens. They had it live streamed. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And so everybody was able to watch together in arguably more comfortable seats than the assembly chambers. Those chairs are not comfortable. They're very tiny.
No. Right. I know. And then I feel like I'm going to fall off, and you know, I'm kind of tall. When I stand up, I'm going to fall down the thing. Yeah, they were made a long time ago. Those were small seats. But yeah, excitement. Also liked what he had to say about descendants and what's happening with us. And I know our tribes looked in and or have been looking into this too, because it's a real thing, and we're the only people that are basically looked at like dogs, where we have a percentage of a breed. And so we want to get away from that. Pardon me?
A pedigree.
Right, exactly. So that was exciting too. I really appreciate what you had to say there. Hey, I want to jump back here in Minnesota, and we've been talking about this since yesterday, that we had a state senator who was one of the four people that thought that it would be fun to come up with a law that I've seen, go nationally now about have a mentally ill if you're against Trump. And then less than 12 hours later, he was in jail.
That news did cross the big river, and I did hear about this, and in jail for a solicitation of a minor, right?
Yep, exactly. Allegedly, we got to say that real quick. But
yeah.
Throw that word in there. But my goodness, the Republicans, it seems to be no gay, no trans, no BIPOC people that are running into this all the time. It just seems like the Republicans talk out of both sides of their mouth.
And are putting forth policies that affect almost no one except for the people, the small number of people that actually need the care, and the right to be able to play sports, things like that. It's a small number of people. This is not something that affects the majority of Americans. And think about the amount of time they're talking about this. And yeah, we haven't heard of drag queens en masse getting charged with solicitation. They're doing book, library clubs and everything for kids and read-alongs. They're helping with literacy.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I figured you heard about it. I just wanted to bring it up that it's still on our radar here. He has been charged today, and he's 40 years old. He's from the deep north, what we like to call the deep north here in the Twin Cities, where it gets a little red up there, and he has four kids and he's married. And I think it's interesting that the Republicans are calling for him to resign, and the Democrats are kind of saying, well, let's play this out. I mean, aren't you innocent until proven guilty? And it's just like, that's weird. It's switched all of a sudden, but I get the points of both, I guess.
And isn't the Minnesota legislature like very, very, very close, as in who
tied.
Is in control?
It's tied now, 67-67, but the Senate, I think, Haley, is a one vote Democrat advantage.
I think so. Yeah, that's what Mary was saying.
Yikes. Yeah, well, I mean, that's gonna affect the number for a bit.
It may go to two soon.
Yeah. Yikes. Yikes.
I know. So how are you doing, and how is your organization doing now with what's been going on federally? I mean, are we getting people fired up to go, geez, I really need to get some training from Emerge Wisconsin and things like that? How is that going?
Yeah, we've had people reaching out, talking about, being the, especially, legislative bodies like city councils and county boards and state legislatures. Those are supposed to be our firewalls, to protect what's happening and to protect what you can at your level. And so people are realizing the importance of these rules, and mm-hmm. we have an election in which, you know, the Madison Common Council, the entire body is up for re-election. Wow. So we have that April 1st. But we also have people that are thinking about maybe, you know, in the future, they might run for their city council or their school board. We have a lot of people that are kind of just dipping a toe in at the moment and trying to get their mind wrapped around the idea of themselves as a candidate. Because if you've never thought of it, it's a big change to think of yourself. And we are getting ready. We are going to be starting with our new cohort, the class of 2025, the first weekend in April. So I'm really excited to train a new cohort of new leaders that are going to be representing in their communities as they, you know, their leadership expands, as they run for office, as they become parts of other organizations that do work in our communities.
I always like to bring this up, but the percentage that got elected from Emerge Wisconsin, let our listeners know, and I'm ready with the applause button.
It was 92%. 92% of our alums that ran in November won their election. So we are sitting pretty good. That's great candidates and great training that you can get at Emerge Wisconsin.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear. Also, before I forget too, with the election coming up with the Supreme Court, how important that is. And I heard something like in Wisconsin, over $30 million is being spent on this election, and a lot of it's coming from Elon.
Yes. The head broligarch in charge is pouring money. It's not enough to do it in D.C. He's trying to do it here. He's trying to start with states, and Wisconsin is his first target. And, you know, we need to stand up and support Judge Susan Crawford for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She is a progressive candidate and is a judge here in Madison. She is thoughtful and, you know, I think is someone that we want to be on the bench.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we got another segment with Arvina. Oh, no, we don't?
No, she has to leave early today.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Good thing we're doing this. No, that's no problem. It's great seeing you. Thank you so much for stopping in. It's always great to see you. And I guess up next, Haley and Robert staring at each other. No. Oh, thanks, Arvina.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP. Along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a 2-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
In a galaxy not so far away, the battle for truth rages on. Smart Wars is a solo exhibition by Rory Wakeemup, a Minnesota Chippewa artist who flips the script on Star Wars using humor and regalia. Wakeemup challenges colonial narratives and reclaims indigenous values of balance, resilience, and environmental activism. This exhibition runs February 27th through April 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations.
Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. Ow.
Oh, geez, my voice is a little deeper. I usually get a little higher on that howl.
The elder wolf today.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, before we talk a little bit about what's going on nationally, I want to just swing back, Haley, and talk a little bit about the goop we have in our notes, GOP, but I like to say goop. He was against, he's for the wolf hunt too. And I wanted to mention that too, that he in the beginning wasn't a friend of ours, but, it's really, you know, I just, you get what you, it's karma. It's quick karma.
That was quick karma. Yeah. I think you're talking about, the Minnesota State Senator, Justin Eichhorn, that was just arrested. Yeah. I think he was federally charged today. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's something I saw.
Yeah. Yep. He was.
Yeah. So Republican, Minnesota Senator Republican Justin Eichhorn out of Grand Rapids, Minnesota, mm-hmm. was the one who was arrested for, kind of soliciting a minor, a 16-year-old. It was an undercover cop mm-hmm. detective that was, in Bloomington, pretending to be a 16-year-old. And what did he say? I don't want to get this wrong either, but an article came out this morning saying just like a line in which he said online to this person. And it was like, what does a man have to do to get with the hottest girl online or something is a message that went through from him, which is just so disturbing, right? This is coming from the Republican family value, party, and it's the total opposite most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time, allegedly. You've got to throw that in. But
yeah, the wolf hunt.
Yeah.
Like we talk about our wolves, and this is the same guy who's been on our radar, doing not good things, and here it is, doing even worse things. So I don't know. I want to mention, too, the other Minnesota state senators that were joining Justin Eichhorn with the
deranged.
Yeah, the Trump derangement syndrome bill. There were five of them that introduced this, all coming from the Republican senators. I want to, let's say their names. Steve Drazkowski from Mazeppa. Of course, Justin Eichhorn, Grand Rapids. We have Glenn Grunhagen from Glencoe. Eric Lucero from St. Michael. And Nathan Wessenberg, Little Falls. So apparently they all think that if you don't agree with Donald Trump or his policies or the orders that are being carried out, you have a mental illness, apparently.
So do you remember last year when I was at the state capitol and I was talking about how sacred wolves are to the Senate hearing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Senator Nathan Weisberg somehow twisted it into an abortion issue. I don't know.
I remember that.
And he's still moving and grooving there with his warped reality.
Yeah, I don't know what, inhumanely killing wolves. I mean, do you know what killing one member of a wolf pack does? It totally disintegrates the whole dynamic of the wolf pack. And that messes up the entire ecosystem in which they're living and taking care of in the area.
I agree 100%, and we talk about that all the time for the last 9 years here. Haley, I want to jump into what's happening with this DEI stuff with the service.
Yeah.
And I know, Ira Hayes, who was a person and a famous sculptor in Washington and also a famous pitcher and movie, raising the flag on Iwo Jima. And he was removed from their website. He just totally disappeared. He was not a person now, and he was not a Marine. And we see our Red Cloud from Ho-Chunk, who's a Bronze Star member and unbelievable, saved lives of so many people. He's been removed too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something that I saw that was really disappointing. This was something too that was posted, I think, today. I saw this today. But the Navajo Code Talkers were something that was completely scrubbed too from the websites. So the Navajo Code Talkers are heroes. They helped our country defeat Nazis and fought for our freedom. But apparently this stuff will be restored. I don't know how quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't know who came to that decision to scrub it and then restore it. But our code talkers and our native veterans and those serving in armed forces are, what is it, like 5 times higher than any other nationality?
Yes, exactly. Haley, and I don't know if you know this, but we have code talkers out of Ho-Chunk, and there's highways being named after them as soon as in the next month. And it's just so disturbing that only it's getting whitewashed. And I mean, that's just a way to put it. Yeah. That's some other disturbing news, too, that I think we talked about a little bit. But a friend of ours from Standing Rock that I used to get news from all the time, Candy White, put something up, a live video that there's a $700 million fine now that to Greenpeace, I believe, from the oil companies now that they won in court. Mm-hmm. And so they can spill all their oil and all these things, and we can't protest it. And now this court with jurors has from North Dakota, because we went through the Standing Rock thing, and that's how this show started, has found them guilty.
Yeah, that was an article I saw today, too. It came out of the New York Times. And the title was Jury Orders Greenpeace to Pay Pipeline Company More Than $660 million for their presence in those protests, really.
Yeah. And I mean, I was protesting. I don't remember Greenpeace being the leaders and all that. I mean, it just blows my mind how quickly everything has changed and how, you know, what making America great means is like disavowing women's rights, BIPOC rights, and just making it a white male 1776 kind of landowner, slave owner kind of a reality again. And we're not going to stand for it. No. I know there's another April 5th. There is another, 5150 or 5051 group is doing another protest across the nation at all the capitals. So I'll be putting on my protest jacket and doing that again.
Yeah, April 5th, save the date. Someone else reached out and asked if we were going to talk about that. So we'll gather more information about that protest. I'm sure it'll be at the Capitol here in Minnesota. But yeah, save the date, April 5th. Also, in honor of Ho-Chunk Founders Day, I want to just wrap up with the Ho-Chunk Founders Day powwow is next weekend, Saturday, March 29th at the La Crosse Center in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Grand entries, I think, are at noon and then 7 p.m. that Saturday.
I'm going to try and make it down there in my war pony with my my license plates that are MMIW that say land back on. Hoo-wah.
Hey, I'll meet you down there with mine.
Well, you know, knowing how we both drive, maybe we should race. Hoo-wah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if people need to know that.
That we're race car drivers? No, they don't. But yeah, it was funny when I had my last job, first starting driving to Madison. I got like 2 speeding tickets right away. So,
yeah. Sorry, my headphones came unplugged.
Okay. Well, you didn't need to hear that I got 2 speeding tickets right away when I started driving to Madison all the time. But, hey, if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coop's, ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. That's resist.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV host and comedian Mike Toomey, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then magician Lou Lepore joins me in studio for some Houdini talk. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
In Wisconsin, mint brownies are the big one.
By the way, why do we associate green with mint? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because mint isn't necessarily... I guess
a mint plant is green.
Well, a lot of plants are green. In fact, most plants are green. You know, chlorophyll, that whole thing, you know?
There's no way.
Wow. Chlorophyll, is that funny? Wow.
Just the way you said it.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Reaction to President Trump's expected signing tomorrow of an executive order to begin dismantling the Department of Education. Bob Callender is president of the Warren, Michigan Teachers Union.
About $15 million in federal funding comes into our school district alone. That's easily 150 to 200 staff positions that could be impacted if cuts are made at the federal level.
Another storm system is affecting millions of people in the country's midsection. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
Rain and snow right through the center of the nation. Very heavy snow, blizzard conditions moving on up through the upper Midwest and upper plains.
Greenpeace is ordered to pay a pipeline company nearly $667 million in damages for its role in protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Greenpeace attorney Deepa Padmanabha.
This has been going on for, you know, over 8 years. It is the end of one phase, but the fight is far from over. We will be appealing. There's a lot for us to dissect.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.